Welcome to the Wisdom Circle. To subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast platforms, please visit us at www.thewisdomcircle.com.
So LA is kind of a tough spot right now, right? Because it's hard to break in from Philadelphia. It's hard to go out there and pay the rent required to live there. And then I start thinking about, well, I want to say this one thing about theme parks. As you may or may not know, theme parks are the most profitable part of Disney and NBC Universal. They break even on the networks. Movies make money and lose money. The theme parks are the cash cow. At Comcast, I can tell you because it's a publicly traded company, I think it's 37% of their profits come from the Universal theme parks. So never discount a production job at a theme park. And it's warmer there. I know you're in Philly. But then I was thinking about, you know, so have you looked at, because this is kind of what I think if I were sitting in your chair, I'm trying to put myself in that chair, it's been a long time. What about inside Philadelphia? Are there production companies in Philadelphia? Or the, you know, Comcast is in Philadelphia, they have no production. But are there small companies that are producing commercials? Are there ad agencies that are, you know, some of the greatest directors and producers of Hollywood started out producing commercials. So I just wonder if you need to narrow the focus, take it, forget LA for now, forget Orlando for now, think about Philadelphia and the industry you want to be in. And have you dug into that? Yeah, maybe there's four companies, maybe there's 40, I don't know. But I'm just thinking that's probably what I would lean into with all the barriers you face. And by the way, I'm not discounting, I don't think Tony is either, the God, I mean, you grew up with COVID and you grew up with fires in LA and the writer's strike. So you've really, I mean, let's say it, you've had it rough for someone who's coming out of school with a dream and a resume. So we're kind of here to do a little triage, you know, a little Red Cross. Have you looked inside like a commutable distance? I don't know what, you know, it could be southern New Jersey to northern Delaware, or have you done that?
Yeah, you know, I've actually started to more now, which is funny because I've been home for a little over a year, because I think for a little bit my brain was so, I have to be in LA or I have to right. be wherever, and nothing could be happening here. And the reality is, well, no, like if this is where you are, how can you steward where you are, right? And I think I actually just reached out to someone on LinkedIn, I think maybe 2 days ago, who owns a studio in like right outside of Philly, which I'm outside of Philadelphia. So it's also close to New Jersey. So yes, there are. I don't know how many and I haven't done a deep enough hunt, but I know they exist. And right. now I'm starting to accept that they exist and not everything has to be in LA or New York City.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think my brain was so in this mindset of nothing's happening here, I have to get there. But the reality is it's happening everywhere. And if you're not there, how can you be in it now? So yes, I'm starting to pick up my game on the Philadelphia.
Well, it goes to Tony's point. Tony, you said something earlier about that exact line of thinking, which is, you know, fish where the fish are, more or less. I'm not capturing it exactly, but I think that's, you know, that's something to consider. So it's good that you're doing
that. I think
it's
important, and it's not easy. You know, none of this is easier. And so, but I think you want to try to figure out creative ways to not be in the on the pile, like as you said, you know, because I think, as I understand it, for so many companies, you know, especially say a big company like Disney, things that come into HR go into some computer, they spit things out, they accept things. And it's, I think it's about either through relationships, but even with that, I've had students reach out to me on LinkedIn and say, can I have 5 minutes of your time? And I will do that. Now, not everyone will do that, but I think you want to find ways to go directly to someone in production, whether, you know, or to say, okay, I'm going to go to LA for a week, you know, and do it reasonably, you know, stay in a reasonable hotel, you know, fly out there. And I'm going to say to people, I'm going to be in LA for, you know, June 1st to June 8th. And can I stop by, you know, and take 15 minutes of your time and see what you can maybe stir up, you know, because a lot of people, if they think for 6 seconds, it's like, I was in the same position Aaron was, and you're personable, right? And so that's a win. Most people draw an opinion of someone in the first 10 seconds of an interview, right? And when you do these things, if this makes sense, and whether you do this in LA or New York or, to Ray's point, Philadelphia, I would try my best to get in to see people with a polite wait, even if it's like for 10 or 15 minutes of their time. And then when you're in there, and not to keep using my niece as an example, because she's still struggling to get ahead, believe me. But when she got an internship at CAA, and there was like, you know, whatever it was, 30 people, and they got to three, she asked questions that were different than what the other interns asked. So I think when you get these opportunities, you know, I'm sure Ray and I got 1,000 interviews where someone said, I want to get into sports. Well, what does that mean? You want to get into sports. You want to be around sports. We probably did the same thing. So when you do get those opportunities, I think if you can really say, I want to work in this space because I think I can add this. As I've observed the industry, I think I can do this, this, and this, right? She turned out to have a real knack of reading a script. She could read a script. They would say, here, read 10 scripts. And she could read 10 scripts and say, these 8 are no good. These 2 are good, but they need these kind of changes. And they got to respect her opinion. So what did I just sort of recapping, you know, how do you narrow it down? How do you go to some of these production companies? How do you try to just take 15 minutes of their time? And then when you're in there, you want to find a way to say, I just don't want to get in the business, but here's things I think I can do to help you and impact you. Here's the strengths I think I have that need to be developed, but I think can be helpful right from the beginning. So I don't know if any of that made sense, but we're throwing a lot at you, right? We're throwing a lot at the board.
Oh, but, I love it. I'm taking it all in.
And you've picked an industry other than sports that's about the most difficult to get into, you know, and it never, you know, it's always a work in progress. You know, having done some Broadway, I've known actors who got on Broadway and got a show and they think, okay, I've made it. They never get another show, you know, because you have to keep working it. And to me, content in general is an exploding area of opportunity. I mean, we've got all these vessels now that need content. And whether it's, you know, you got Tom Hanks doing America on NBC to things on Discovery, whatever, to, you know, all these series that people are handing over dollar bills to say, go develop this content. So it's not like you're in an area that's shrinking. You're in an area that you want to get into that's expanded. So to your point, how do I get in there?
You know, I think one of the things that just occurred to me when I'm just trying to put a lot of what Tony and I have said, and we want to give you more time, Aaron, so we'll do a little Q&A if you have any more questions for us. But, you know, 2 things. One is talking about, you know, breaking it into smaller pieces and looking at smaller, like, because Tony said something, I'm like, well, but then he said exactly what I was thinking, which is there's so much need for content. So it is a hard business to break into, depending on, do you want to be an actor or an actress? And even then, I don't think there's an actor or actress in Hollywood in the last 20 years who isn't working on some show, on some streaming service or whatever. So the point is, it's really about breaking it down into smaller chunks. And that could be, literally, watching the end of a whole bunch of TV shows on Netflix, Paramount, Max, whatever, and look at all the companies. I mean, you'll see 8 individual production companies. It might be on Max, but there are 8 companies. That's your prospect list. And do that with 14 shows and write them all down, and you're going to have like 40 companies you may have never heard of before. And that becomes a prospect list, right? Your prospects and suspects. Some might be suspects, some might be prospects. But I think, you know, it's a numbers game. And going back, 2 other things I want to say. One is we talked earlier, you and I, via email, Aaron, about when things that you're pursuing don't necessarily align with what you really want to do. I don't know that anybody, I didn't predict my career. No one can predict their career. In fact, I probably said that in the class you and I were in. Two things. One is be comfortable being uncomfortable, one of my favorite lines. And the other is, if you think you know where you're going, you have no idea. I wanted to be a radio disc jockey playing records. And my cousin, and I, you know, my long story short, that didn't work out for family reasons. Not that I ever tried and failed. I just never tried because something came up with my dad and my mom, and I had to stay home with my mom. My dad passed away, et cetera. So leaving New York to go be a DJ in Duluth, Minnesota was not a good idea. My cousin, who worked at an ad agency, said, well, we have a job for a network radio buyer at Ted Bates Advertising. It's not being a DJ, but it's in the radio business. And I went there. And, you know, 46 years later, I retired. I was never thinking I would be a negotiator, a buyer, a seller, a president, a CEO, whatever the heck I was. I want to be a DJ. So some of it's like, you know, follow the lead and just see what happens. And sometimes, you know, I know that your generation, and I give you credit for it, want to do what you love and build your life around that. You're not aiming for the picket fence and the house here with the nice car in the driveway. It's like, I want to do what I love. Whatever I make will be the amount of money I can build my life on. And I think it's a great thing. Even with that said, there are times where you're not going to be able to follow it exactly the way you want. You know, the other thing, to Tony's point, and then I'll stop because we are getting close to Q&A time, if you have any, and otherwise we can talk all day. Tony's point about sending notes to people about, if do you have 5 or 10 minutes? I'd love to, or 15, ask for 15 and maybe you get 10. If you send 100 of those out, it's a numbers game. 5 might say, sure, send, you know, call me or whatever. You won't get a bunch of, you won't get 100% no's, but you're going to have to write 100 little notes on LinkedIn. Hey, I saw your profile. I'm really interested. I'm trying to break in. You know, do you have 10 or 15 minutes? So I'll stop there. But I think a lot of it's trying to make bite size. You know, and I told the Warren offspring, inch by inch, life's a cinch. By the yard, life is hard. So if you try to get too far too fast, it's going to take a really long time. But if you just break it down into little small bites, you might have more success.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually just heard a quote the other day, and it was like, only a fool thinks they can always do what they've always done, right? Because like, ultimately, if like what you're doing isn't working, you have to pivot. But kind of to what you both said, I do think there was a point where, and I think my mind still goes to like the big fish of like, oh, I want Disney Studios or NBC Universal. But it's like, okay, yeah, I think we're in such a generation where it's like, we're so used to immediate transaction and we want that success to like happen overnight. But it's like more of a daily effort and like small intentional steps that like ultimately lead you down that road. But yeah, I completely agree. And that's such a good point of like, gathering all the prospects, because you don't know half the names of these little studios, but those are usually the ones that eventually might even get you to the big studio, or you might end up being in love with that studio for all you know.
Doing everything you love, just doesn't say Disney on the door. So
I know, which is like, you know, yes, like Disney has my heart. That would be a dream. Right. But also there's something to be said of just trusting the plan and how it evolves. Cause even to like your story, I think it is so interesting because right now it's like being really early into my career, it's tough to like see the full picture or to see how like the jobs that didn't fully make sense are going to play themselves out, or it's all going to evolve into the way it was meant to be. But when you do have that perspective, it all kind of aligns of like, oh, this led to that and that led to that. So I think that's where sometimes it's, I think, the biggest test, and kind of what we also referred to of like getting over the hump of application burnout and getting fatigued. Yeah. Is being able to trust that things are going to work out as long as you keep at it and have a little bit of tenacity and are able to like evolve as the industry evolves too.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And you've had, you know, a harder time of it than those of us who got in the business a long time ago had. So I give you so much credit. I use the word tenacity, or maybe you just used it, but I've used it previously with Tony and with you. You know, the tenacity that you show to stay with it is very impressive. So as we get close to wrap up time, do you have any other questions for us? Because, you know, we said we'd save some time for that. We're happy to do it.
Yeah. So the first one was kind of leaning into the whole networking mindset. And, you know, I feel like we're in such a time, and I can speak on the struggle of being that people pleaser. And as much as you want to get where you want to go, and you know that comes with kind of having to be maybe even pushy with your network, that can be incredibly uncomfortable because you also don't want to be too much or too whatever. But do you think it's best to be the squeaky wheel?
I'll take it, Tony, because Aaron was my invitation. So there's a difference between a noisy squeaky wheel and I love squeaky wheels. I don't want, you know, over the top pace is the key. You know, you have to give people, you have to realize, I've always said this to people, you know, this looking for a job may be your full-time job, but it's not the person that you're reaching out to's full-time job. So your perspective and the anxiety and the desire and the everything is going to be higher. So, but regular communication in a thoughtful, smart way, to me, is absolutely fine. It's not like one and done. Okay, because I'd say, well, I never heard from her again. And if you send me a note every week, I'm just like, oh, wow, this person needs to take a breath. So there's a pace thing. But Tony, what's your take on it? Because you're a little bit less patient than I am in general.
No, I think you don't want to be bashful. You want to be respectful. When you reach out to someone, know literally who you're reaching out to, and by that, what they're doing and what they've done. I think people will pick up quickly if, you know, it's just a name and it's on a list. And so I think that's really important. You know, or I'd like, you know, I just saw White Lotus and I'd like to, you know, learn more about it or something, you know, whatever the show is that you may be talking about. And then I think it's just finding that clever way. You know, I'm trying to think when some of the students reach out to me, it's like, you know, I've done my research. I've seen what you've done in sports and in marketing, and you know, I'm doing a paper on this category. Can I spend 15 minutes with you? And that always caught my attention because it was a purpose. It wasn't like I'm looking for a job. It was like, can I learn from you? So you may want to try that as, you know, as a tactic and say, you know, can I learn from you for 15 minutes because I'm looking to get into this area. But I would not be bashful as long as you do it respectfully and politely, it's sort of the same word. Then you got to be the aggressor. As Ray said, people aren't waking up thinking about you. You got to make them think. And then this is the other thing, which is sort of piling on, I think, things we've said, is you really just you want to only be so selective. If you can get into the space somehow, it seems like, you know, we only know these things because we've now looked back on a 40-year career. We didn't know it when we were taking it, right? We can now articulate it because we've now said, oh, that's how that worked out. But at the end of the day, we really just jumped into the pool and then let the tide take us and let our instinct and our internal sense take us to where it had to go. And it doesn't come without risk. It doesn't come without discomfort. And what am I really doing the right thing? And I always say to young people, I said to myself when I went to Anheuser-Busch, you know what? If it doesn't work out and this was the worst decision you ever made, you can go back to New York City. You know, it took me 26 years to do it because it turned out to be the right decision. But it doesn't come without taking that uncomfortable sense of, I'm jumping into this. It feels right. You don't know until you do. But always have that comfort saying, well, if that was the wrong decision, then I'll go back and find something else. So,
yeah, no, I love that. Because I think that's where there's this balance of, like, I mean, my most recent, like, fear, I guess, around it is like knowing I can't offer the same level of value in return in the position I'm in. It's like an uncomfortable feeling because you know that in a way, they're doing more for you than you can for them, even if one day you can pay it forward.
I'm going to stop you right there because I don't want you ever to think that way again. And I just feel like I'm your parent.
I was going to say the same.
Because you have a lot to offer. And everything you've done from the first day of college to now is a foundation that you are building of who you are and who you can be. So it's never something to apologize for. And the great ideas come from the young minds because you're still thinking broadly and thinking creatively and thinking in today's world versus someone who maybe been set in their way. So I don't want to be rude there, but you've got so much to offer. That's how you have to think about it and don't be apologetic. I can bring you something, Mr. or Mrs. or, you know, whatever, yeah,
person.
And so,
the people who are going to respond to you are going to be people who are kind and who want to help people. The ones who don't respond to you are the ones who might not think you can ever help them. So that's the filter right there. But you should never think twice about, I can't ask them because I can't help them. You are not in that place. And the people who will want to help you, just there are people who are nice out there and they'll want to help people.
Here's
we
the other
to wrap thing. Up soon, though, so I want to give, like, another chance for us. Sorry, Tom.
Oh, that's okay. And just real quick, Aaron, write down when, you know, you have a moment, you know, the three things you think you really can bring to any organization. And just be comfortable with that. So when you get in those conversations, they say, well, you know, why should I hire you, Aaron? You know, you're not thinking about it on the spot. You have thought about it. You've developed it, and you have a really solid answer to that. Anyway, Ray, go. I throw it back to you.
No, that's good. That's good. Another question.
Yeah. So I guess being also just in this early starting the career season, what's a piece of advice you guys would give to your younger selves? I guess in the same place I'm in now.
Well, I'll start, which is don't think you know where you're going to wind up. I didn't fuss about not going down the DJ path. It was kind of like a necessity, but I had no idea what my career path would be. I just leapt to Tony's point. So you got to let go of the control you think you have of Disney or Universal. You don't. Do not control it. Get in and let it take you where it's going to take you. So that's what I would just say, just let it flow.
Yeah, and you can't get discouraged. You'll look back on this and say, God, there was that year between college, and thank God my parents took me in. But it seemed like a lifetime, but in a 30 or 40 year career, it was a small time. It's easy to say that, and I know what you're going through, but you just can't get discouraged because there is highways littered with people that want to get into sports and to entertainment and to get a lot of stuff, and they gave up on it because it was perceived to be too hard. And now they get into their 40s and 50s, and I hate to say it, they're very unhappy people because they didn't follow their dream. And so that, whatever age you are, you just don't want to be discouraged. And it takes, you know, some soul. But you don't want to get discouraged. Not yet, anyway.
No, I love that. And I completely agree. Because, I mean, you can't. It's like only you can show up for you if you want to go where you want to go.
Yeah, it's like if you don't love yourself, no one else was going to love you, you know. And so you got to. And it's a little bit of cockiness, which, you know, an ego, which we all have. You know, we had a president once in a company saying, hey, let's just recognize we all have ego. It's just how we manage the ego as we go forward, because it takes that kind of energy to be successful and to win people over. So you start with a lot of great basics, which a lot of people don't have. And so now you just have to get those presented in a way and get in front of people, which we're talking about.
Yeah. All right. So we'll take another one, and then I think we're going to wrap it so that we can let everybody, you know, do their thing.
All right. So my last question is, what qualities do you think make someone stick out as a prospective or active employee, like just as a good candidate?
So for me, it was always someone who looked you straight in the eye, someone who had a sense of themselves, someone who wasn't trying too hard to tell me how much they want to work for the company I'm at, but that they have just a passion for the business that we're in. Passion is a really big deal in an interview, in a conversation, without it being aggressive. So, you know, your passion actually comes through really nicely. You can tell that you're passionate about what you're trying to accomplish. And I would say, you know, that's a really important part for me.
Yeah, it's just piggybacking on that. To me, it's about trust, you know, honesty. It's understanding that there are no shortcuts. You got to work hard. And it's about someone who I know is going to, you should watch it. One of our last podcasts was with Kathy Casso, who worked with me at Anheuser-Busch. And she was a woman in business when she was the only woman in the room in the late 80s, early 90s. And she said, I always knew I didn't want to be, I wanted to just be a person, one of the people in the room. But I had to work harder than everybody else to bring that. So I would study and I would know things that, so I was prepared in the room. So preparation.
Preparation. Yeah.
You know, so those are the things. It's, I taught a course at NYU on leadership and crisis management. I probably read 20 books on leaderships, from Green Beret to leaders to admirals to whatever. And you can succinct it down to about 5 bullet points. And it was trust, you know, collaboration, honesty, you know, sort of working well with others and being innovative. You know, you don't need another person who's just going to tell you what you're already doing or what you want to hear. You want, can I get good ideas from this person? And it really sort of knuckles down to, or trims down to, those sort of 5 or 6 things. Anyway, wrap it up, Ray.
There it is. Holy cow. What a cap on it. I'll tell you what. That was good. I was impressed you remembered all those notes. Very nice.
Well, the brain hasn't, I haven't gone into dementia yet.
Well, Erin, I hope you found this to be helpful and fun, as I promised you it would be. And we really enjoyed having you. So thank you for being on in the Wisdom Circle.
Thank you for having me. I was kind of thinking, like, going into this, that it was probably going to serve a lot of people in a very similar season of life. But equally, I was like, I'm probably going to replay it and take all my notes, like, in the moment and right after this, because I knew I was going to gain so much as I did. So thank you, guys. It was so good. Well.
We enjoyed it.
Keep in touch.
Oh, for sure.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.